Welcome to the audio podcast of North River Church. You can find out more about North River and ways you can be involved at our website, gonorthriver.org.
All right, church family, I want to invite you to take your copy of God's Word. Join me in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And we will cover this morning verses 1 through 4. Now, kids, I know that since you're with us this morning, you also have your own special copy of a bulletin. And I know there's some games in there, there's some things, but I want you to do me a favor, if you will. One of the things that we're going to talk about this morning is children obeying their parents. Kids, y'all think it's a setup, don't you? You're like, whoa, Pastor, that's a little too much. No, that is what we're going to talk about. And then we're just talking about parents training their children and disciplining them. So it's going to be a fun Sunday as we work through that. But kids, here's what I want you to do, okay? I need you to pay attention. I need you to make sure that you're locked in with me. And if you see that your parents or your grandparents aren't, you can elbow them gently and say, pay attention, okay? Parents, you also have the permission to elbow your kids if you need to and tell them to pay attention this morning. Kids, this is what I want you to draw. This is what we're going to talk about this morning. Something called an application sandwich. There you go. Parents, they are locked in. I just want you to draw a picture of a sandwich in your copy of your bulletin, and we're going to cover that. It'll make perfect sense in a little bit. Church family, we've talked about different kind of sandwiches that we find in the scriptures. If you remember a while back, we talked about a compliment sandwich. Do you remember that? Where you're trying to break some bad news to someone and try to say something that may come across harsh, but at the beginning, you lay out a compliment for them. You break the hard truth, and then you follow it up with a compliment so they walk away feeling good about the conversation. Call that a compliment sandwich. And then when we were working our way through the book of Ecclesiastes, we faced the death sandwich. Do you remember that one, church? Where we talked about the writer of Ecclesiastes, Solomon, said, you're all going to die. Enjoy life. You're all going to die. Do you remember that one? So we had the death sandwich there. This morning, we're going to look at an application sandwich. And as we do that, I want to read for us Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. That's what we're going to cover in the text. And then we're going to walk back through it, identifying the meat of this sandwich and then the application both to children and then also to parents this morning. So hear God's word beginning in verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 6. Paul writes, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for the truth that it proclaims, and we ask that you would open our eyes, that we would be able to see, that you would open our ears, that we would be able to hear. And Lord, that you would open our hearts and our minds, that we would be ready to respond to your word and to your spirit this morning, whether we are children that are in this room or parents or grandparents. May we be ready to respond to you in obedience. We ask that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. It's awesome when you look at the scriptures and you realize that God's plan for passing the faith from one generation to the next was always with the family. The family is God's plan A for passing the truth about who God is and what he's done from one generation to the next. It's God's expectation. It's God's plan. In fact, I would make this argument that our church will only be as healthy as our families are. And in fact, you could expand that beyond our culture. Our society will only be as healthy as our families are. See, the thing that we've looked at over the last number of weeks is the idea of marriage. As we've talked about husbands and their responsibilities within marriage. We've talked about wives and their responsibilities within marriage. And now God, through Paul, gives us a glimpse of the family in Ephesians chapter 6. He wants us to understand how should this relationship play out between kids and their parents. Now, let me press in a little bit. You say, okay, well, maybe I'm a grandparent here. Maybe this doesn't apply to me, Pastor. I can just head out today and not worry about that. No, because here's the thing that all of us need to recognize, that all of us most likely at some point in time are a parent or maybe a grandparent, and we play a vital role in the lives of our kids and our grandkids. But also, you may be a parent here, but you also have parents. They may be elderly parents that you're helping to care for or take care of. And so we're going to unpack that a little bit as we talk about the responsibility of children relating well with their parents. I want to do this because I think this is the best way for us to move forward as we think about the application sandwich that Paul is giving us in verses 1 through 4. For me, and I think for Paul, verses 2 and 3 play the meat of this message. This is the truth that Paul wants to communicate, and then he applies it both to children in verse 1 and to parents in verse 4. And so, kids, if you've drawn a picture of your sandwich, the meat in the middle of your sandwich, or your PB&J that's in the middle, everybody loves a good PB&J, right? The meat of the sandwich is this truth. God here offers for us a command and a promise in verses 2 and 3. I want you to notice what Paul writes in verse 2. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Now, as we look at that, we know that Paul is quoting the fifth commandment back from Exodus chapter 20. That's what Paul's doing here. He is going back all the way to Exodus chapter 20 when God had given the Ten Commandments to his people, and Paul is highlighting this fifth commandment. Now, I want you to recognize that as he highlights this, that the fifth commandment serves as the bridge between the first four commandments, which speak to our relationship with God, and the last commandments, which speak to our relationships with one another. And I don't think it's by accident that Paul does that, because he wants us to understand something this morning about this commandment. Now, for us, we look and we say, okay, well, kids relating to their parents, that's how they interact with someone else, not necessarily how they interact with God. But when you recognize what's actually going on, what Paul is communicating and what God was communicating is that for kids, parents serve as God's representative in the kid's life. So parents, I want you to understand that the reason that it bridges between relationship with God in the first four commandments and then in the last five commandments, relationship with other people, because the bridge is helping us understand, yes, it's kids relating to their parents, but that relationship is important in God's eyes to the point that kids, I want you to understand, your parents have been given to you by God. Parents, don't lose sight of the fact that in your kid's life, your responsibility is to be, in a sense, God's representative for himself. Not that you're the God of your kids, but you stand in God's place in their lives. Now, for us as adults, we can better understand how we relate to God and know that he's in charge and he's responsible for us. But for kids, they struggle with that sometimes. God's a bit, in their minds, sometimes an abstract idea or thought. But parents, you're the flesh and blood authority in your kids' lives. So when they look at you, God has placed you there to be his representative in their life. And so as you look and you recognize in that role of authority, in that role of responsibility, kids, the Bible says that we are to honor our father and our mother. Meaning that we are to be willing to submit to their authority in our lives. Meaning that we're willing to defer to their lead and to their authority. I want you to remember this, that kids, your parents, when they ask you to do something, your responsibility is to do what? Do it. Right? Kids are like, Pastor, why you got to say that? Now, I want you to notice about this commandment, though. This is what's interesting. It is a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not, hey, if you feel like it in the moment, kids, obey your parents or honor your parents. It's not that. In fact, it's a command given by God so that, I want you to notice in the next part of verse 2, it's the first commandment with a promise. Isn't that interesting? Why does God give this command and attach to it a promise and not a threat? Why doesn't God say, do this or else I'm going to take you out, kids? Parents, have you ever had that conversation with your kid? I brought you in the world and I can take you out, make another one just like you, right? May get that on the way home, right? But the question comes, why does God issue this command and then follow it up with a promise and not a threat? Sometimes parents, we issue this command to our kids, you need to obey or else this is going to happen. But isn't it interesting that God doesn't do that? God, in fact, follows it up with a promise. Verse 3, the promise is that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. So kids, when you honor your parents, God says the promise attached to that is that you will live long in the land. Meaning that your parents, as they give you opportunities to walk in obedience to them, as they are in authority over you, as you walk in obedience, that God says, as you do that, your life expands. Now, in some sense, you look and you go, okay, well, I mean, that makes sense just on a natural level. Because just think about it, parents, if we were to say to our kids, don't run out into the street, look both ways. Well, you look and you say, well, that makes perfect sense. Because if a car's coming by and a kid runs out into the street, may have a bad accident, and the kid may not live long in the land, right? But it's more than that. It's recognizing and understanding, kids, that your parents, even at times when you go, I don't understand why they are saying what they're saying or why they are making me do what they are making me do, your parents have more wisdom than you do. Can I get an amen, parents? We used to be kids. Did you know that? Your parents and even your grandparents used to be kids. They used to be your age at one point in time. And here's the thing. Having lived longer than you, parents have a little bit of wisdom of things that they've walked through when they were kids and growing up that they can impart to you. So if you're willing to listen to them and to walk in obedience to them, God's promise in that is you will live long in the land. You will extend your life. You will pick up these traits of wisdom and live them out. And that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. So God gives us, through Paul, in verses 2 and 3, the meat of this passage. So that's the meat of the sandwich, but now he's going to apply it, beginning in verse 1, specifically to children. And so children, This right here is for you, okay? This is where I want you to dial in with Pastor Michael in this moment, to listen, to pay attention, and to hear what Paul writes beginning in verse 1. Paul says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." So children, Paul says here, walk in obedience with your parents. Obey your parents. You say, "Well, Pastor Michael, what if I don't like what my parents say?" There's times when you're not going to like what your parents say. In fact, as you grow up and you become a teenager, there's times you think your parents are the dumbest people on the planet. You're like, I have no idea what's wrong with them. And they're thinking, I have no idea what's wrong with you either. But in this, Paul writes, "Children, obey your parents." One of the phrases that we use at our house, and I think it's a phrase, parents, if you want to co-opt this and use it at your house, delayed obedience is disobedience. So kids, I want you to hear me in that. When you delay obeying your parents and they tell you to do something, you are walking in disobedience. You're not doing what God has called you to do. Parents, when you ask your kids to do something and they don't do it, that's a huge deal. It's not something to just go, "Well, that's really kind of funny. They got a strong personality." No, when your kids are not walking in obedience, you as God's representative in their life need to help them understand that you've been placed in authority over them for a purpose and for a plan. And so if they refuse to obey you, if they refuse to walk in obedience, in essence, they are choosing to disobey the one that God has placed in their life to have authority over them. And as they grow up, if that pattern continues, they'll disobey God in their lives as well. And so parents, for us, we set the tone for our kids walking in obedience early in their lives. And for you, you may be looking and going, "I missed the boat, Pastor. I should have nailed it down when they were two and I didn't. What do I do now?" Go to your kids and say, "I'm sorry for not fulfilling the role that God has put me in your life to fulfill." And to say, "Moving forward, this is how things are going to function. Because God's placed me as authority in your life, you are going to walk in obedience because that's what God has called you to do." So he says here, obey your parents, notice, followed with, in the Lord. Kids, I want you to understand this. As you walk in obedience to your parents, you are ultimately walking in obedience to God. That's the reason that Paul attaches those two things together. Obey your parents in the Lord. So kids, if you look and you go, "You know what? I don't want to obey today." Just recognize it's not just your parents that you're choosing to disobey. In fact, it is God that you're choosing to disobey. And God's desire for your life, the reason that he's put your parents in your life, is so that you would walk in obedience to them and ultimately walk in obedience to him. Now, parents, that should do something for us to help us recognize and understand that since God has placed us in authority in our kids' lives, the role that we play should match up with the role that God plays in our own lives. We're going to explore that a little bit more here in just a little bit. But children, obey your parents in the Lord. And he follows this up with, for this is right. Meaning that it is a righteous thing for children to walk in obedience to their parents and ultimately to walk in obedience to the Lord. Now in this, parents, how do we handle the moments when our kids don't do it? Some of you are like, that's the reason I'm here, Pastor. That's what I wanted to hear. How do we do that? How do we respond to our kids when they don't walk in obedience? Let me just ask this question of you. How does God respond to you when you don't walk in obedience? If we are God's representatives in our kids' lives, wouldn't it make sense that we should respond to our kids in the same way that God responds to us? Wouldn't it make sense that if God issues grace to us, that we should issue grace to our kids as well? Now, that doesn't mean that we just let them do whatever they want to do. God doesn't do that with us. In fact, God brings discipline in our lives, and God corrects us, God instructs us, and that's the way that we should function with our kids as well. But parents, can I just remind us that there are times in our kids' lives where they need to experience the grace of God lived out. And parents, if we have trusted in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we personally have also experienced God's grace and mercy in our own lives. And so as His representatives, it should make sense for us to live that out in our kids' lives as well. Now, for many of us, we're no longer kids in our parents' house. In fact, for many of us, we may have lost parents. Maybe your parents are no longer alive, or maybe your parents are alive and they're older. And the question comes in, okay, how does a child who's grown relate to my parents? Because if you look at this, what you recognize and what you understand is walking in obedience primarily refers to when your kids are within your home, that they're to walk in obedience to you as God's representatives. But what happens when you're out on your own? How do you respond to your parents in that sense? I mean, in a real sense, you're not walking in obedience to them anymore. Ultimately, you're walking in obedience to the Lord. But how do you relate to your parents? Now, I dare say that for many of us, we've got great relationships with our parents. But for some of us, we may not have very good relationships with our parents. And so how do we relate to them as their children? In fact, how do we honor them? How do we honor grown parents when we're grown? How do we honor aging parents? You know, one of the greatest pictures that personally I've seen as a pastor, and then personally in our own family's life, of watching kids walk with their aging and dying parents at the end of their days. It is one of the most beautiful pictures I've ever seen of a child honoring their parents. It's one of the most beautiful pictures of seeing them lay themselves down to honor and to cherish and to lift up their parents. And so maybe you're in that moment right now where you have aging parents, and just be honest, things are tough, and you feel like in the moment all they want is me to do something else. All they want is for me to show up. They want me to do this. They want me to do that. Ask the question, how can I best honor my parents in this moment? How can I love them well? How can I walk with them well in what very well could be the last days of their lives? You see, the truth is, what you recognize, what I've seen personally, watching that play out as a pastor, personally am I, own family's life, watching that play out is one of the most beautiful pictures of this being lived out this side of heaven. Honoring parents. So children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's a righteous thing to do. So if that is the first part of the application sandwich, and we've already covered the meat. We're going to get to the last part where Paul speaks directly to parents. And I want you to notice, beginning in verse 4, Paul writes, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Now, what's translated fathers there could very easily also be translated as parents. And so as you look at this responsibility that is placed on parents, notice that what Paul does is he says, here's one thing you should not do, and here are two things that you should do. So parents, as we take notes this morning, as we think about how our kids relate to us, how they're to walk in obedience unto the Lord, for this is right, we also have to recognize that we have a responsibility to play in our kids' lives as well. In this scenario, one thing we should not do, two things that we should do. What should we not do? Paul says, do not provoke your children to anger. Now think about that for just a second. Parents, could it be possible that in relating to our children, whether they be young children, whether they be teenagers, those that are still within our house, the way in which we interact with them, instead of provoking them to look to Jesus, we provoke them to anger in how we parent? Now, how might that play out in our lives? Do you have time for me just to unpack my own parenting fails in the moment? Do you want to share yours? They're like, no, we don't want to go there. Just being honest, church, there are times when you look at this and you think, man, I could have handled that so much better. I could have not yelled at my kids in this moment. I disciplined them out of anger in this moment instead of out of love. You ever been there? In fact, have you ever had to go back and apologize to your kids for the way in which you disciplined them? You're like, that's weird. No, that's Jesus in your kid's life. There's times I've had to go back to our girls and apologize to them and say, Daddy was upset and I should not have said what I said or done what I did or disciplined you in the way that you were disciplined. Here's what I want them to understand, that Daddy's not perfect. Parents, sometimes we have this complex that we think we're perfect and we think our kids need to think we're perfect. Our kids need to look and to recognize that we are imperfect people being transformed by a perfect Jesus. That's what your kids need to see in your life. And so there are things that we can do in our discipline, in our conversation, where instead of provoking our children to love Jesus, we provoke them to anger. And ask yourself the question, at what point in Scripture did God ever provoke those that He loved to anger? He doesn't. There's never a point in Scripture that we'll uncover where God provokes those that He loves to anger. In fact, we see God expressing to His people great love. Now, you can discipline your kids in love and not provoke them to anger. It's possible to do that. It's possible to help them understand that truth that they need to understand. But let's just be very careful in the way that we talk with our kids, in the way that we discipline our kids, that we are not pushing them to anger. Let me push it to you in this way, or maybe explain it to you in this way. One of the absolute worst things that we can do in our kids' lives is be sarcastically tearing them down. And let's just be honest, in our culture, we think sarcasm is just not that big of a deal, but it crushes kids. We may be able to play the game, or at least think we can play the game, of being sarcastic in our words and what we're saying, but let me remind you that your kids, they don't pick up on the sarcasm like we do as adults. And when we're sarcastic with them, when we're cutting to them, when we find that one thing that we can say and just keep pressing in to where they just become exasperated by what we're saying, that they turn to anger, it does absolutely no good in their lives. Do not provoke your children to anger. But Paul says, here's what you should do, parents. Two things. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Two separate things, discipline and instruction. Isn't it interesting that Paul pulls those two things together? Paul doesn't just say, parents, just discipline your kids. Discipline them and discipline them and discipline them and discipline them some more. Some of us may live that out. And we need to be reminded that there's a second role that we play in our kids' lives, and that is teaching them, instructing them to walk with the Lord. And so here's the thing. When discipline comes together with instruction in the Lord in our kids' lives, it's the perfect combination of helping them follow Jesus. And so here, Paul says, bring them up. And you can make the argument very clearly. From the day that they're born until the day that they leave your home, that's bringing them up. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Parents, let me ask this question. How do you discipline your kids in the Lord? We've talked about it a little bit. Why don't we look for just a minute at how God disciplines His children? That would be us. We're walking in sin. God disciplines us for our good. So when we discipline our kids, we should discipline them for their good. Not to get our anger out because we're mad at the situation or mad at what our kids said or mad at what our kids did, but because we recognize in this moment, we want them to walk away from this situation better than in the moment that they're in currently. It's for their good. So when the Lord disciplines us, He disciplines us for our good. He also disciplines us not forever. Notice that. As children of God, God doesn't just write us off. God doesn't discipline us and say, it's just going to keep going. You're just that bad. Never going to stop. It's constant discipline. In fact, we don't even have a picture of God looking at us in a sense where God no longer likes us. In fact, God loves us so much that He's willing to discipline us for our good. And so parents, when we discipline our kids, that's the way that we should discipline them. Mirroring the way in which God, our Heavenly Father, disciplines us. And so we're also to instruct our kids. From the time that they are little, our responsibility as parents in our kids' lives is that we are to point them to Jesus. Every single second of opportunity that we have in their lives is a second that God has given us to point them to Him. So parents, that's the question that we've got to ask ourselves. Are we disciplining our kids as God is disciplining us? And then are we helping our kids understand who God is and what He's done through Jesus Christ? Pastor Adam before, and appreciate so much his illustration of marbles and just looking at how much limited time we have with our kids. But let me press it even further than that. Parents, if you're expecting your kids to get everything that they need to follow Jesus coming to church on Sundays and Wednesdays, they'll not get what they need to follow Jesus just in that limited time. Your kids need for you to be the champion in their lives of pointing them constantly to who God is and to what He has done. Parents, for many of us, we need to reorient our lives around fulfilling that responsibility that God has placed on us. We need to look and to recognize that we have such a limited time with our kids that we need to leverage all of the opportunities that we can to point them to who God is and to what He has done. Do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. You see, if we can take the truth that Paul lays out for us in verses 2 and 3, and children, kids, we can let that truth apply in our lives where we walk in obedience to our parents in the Lord because that's the right thing to do. And then parents, if we're willing not to provoke our kids to anger, but we're willing to discipline and instruct them in the ways of the Lord, if we can put the sandwich together, we'll have an opportunity not only to transform our lives as families, but to transform the life of our church and ultimately transform the life of our community because of the strong, godly families that we have. My prayer for us, children, that we would obey our parents in the Lord because it's right. Parents, that we would not provoke our kids to anger, but that we would instruct them and discipline them in the Lord. Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the truth that it proclaims. And Father, I thank You for these kids that have been in here this morning. I thank You, Lord, for the tremendous privilege that You have given to our church to minister to them. To the parents that are here, to love them and discipline them and instruct them in the ways of the Lord. And Father, I ask that we would be faithful to do what You've called us to do, that we would see them as a gift from You. Father, I ask that You would help these kids to understand and to recognize that their parents are Your representatives in their life. And that You've called them to walk in obedience, both to their parents and ultimately to You. Father, help us as parents not to provoke our kids to anger, but to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Father, for those of us that are here that our grown kids that have parents that are still alive, Lord, may we honor them well. Father, may the families that are represented here at North River Church grow in the knowledge and understanding of who You are and what You've called them to do. Lord, may our families grow stronger. Lord, may our church grow stronger because our families are growing stronger. Lord, may our community grow stronger because our families and our church are strong. Lord, where there's opportunity, maybe for kids this morning to turn from sin in their lives and relating to their parents, if there's opportunities for parents to turn from sin in the way that they're relating with their kids, may we be willing to do that today. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand this morning? You sing, you respond to the Lord.